We're thankful for His many promises. Last week we talked about making this year 2026, the best year of our lives, and reminded of several things in that. One was that we need to make every day count, because it's not a practice run, it's not a dress rehearsal, this is the real thing, real McCoy. So make every day count. Live every day like it's your last day, and realize that one of these days it is going to be the last day, and it could be today. We don't know. But the Bible tells us in Hebrews that death is an appointment we're going to make, and then judgment. So we need to prepare for where we want to spend eternity. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such a time as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." So that day's coming. It's coming quickly. We need to be prepared and be ready for it. We can't live in the past. We need to forget the past and move forward. This morning I want to look with you for a few minutes at a man who knew a lot of these things, but chose to try to do it differently. He chose to try to do it his way, and rejecting God's way for his life. And he suffered some pretty evil consequences. His name was Jonah. Title of sermon this morning, "The Results of Disobedience and Repentance." The results of disobedience and repentance. Jonah, most of us know about Jonah and his story, his life. The story of Jonah is one of the clearest demonstrations of God's love and mercy for all mankind in the whole Bible, the entire Scriptures. The book of Jonah revolves completely around a Gentile nation. You know, we always think about God's people, the Israelites, the Jews, but, and, you know, this is, we're not in the New Testament here in Jonah. We're still in the Old Testament, and God loved the Gentiles back then. And this whole book of Jonah, is about a group of Gentiles that God was concerned about. He was concerned enough about it, to call Jonah to go preach repentance to him. But Jonah, he had other plans, just like you and I do a lot of times. We got our own plans, and sometimes God's plans conflict with our plans. And when that's the case, we need to abandon our plans and go with God's plans, because God's plans are always best. Nineveh was a large city. It was full of wickedness. There was so much wickedness there, God was getting ready to destroy it. I look at places like this in the Bible, I wonder how much more God's going to tolerate in this world we live in today, with all the wickedness that we experience, all the wicked things that are going on here in this world, even in the United States of America. And we think about places that, like Sodom and Gomorrah, that God destroyed for less than what we're guilty of today. But here he was about to destroy Nineveh. He wanted to give them one more chance. God's, you know, gives us a lot of chances, but one day we're going to get the last chance. And then after that, it's too late. There's no turning back, no going back and undoing and redoing. And so we wonder sometimes how many more chances he's going to give us. So as we look in Jonah and look at the circumstances and what happened here, in the first verse, the Bible tells us that now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." It's So God called Jonah. He called him for a specific task, to go to Nineveh, to preach to Nineveh, to preach repentance, to preach salvation to the Ninevites. That is a task that we've all been commanded to do. The Bible tells us there in Matthew 28 that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, he says. That's a commandment for every Christian. That's not just for pastors. That's not just for Sunday school teachers or deacons or whatever title you might want to put on it. It's for all believers, all Christians. We have a commission, a commandment to go wherever we go and share Jesus Christ, to tell people about the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that they can be prepared, so that they can repent and spend eternity with Him one day. But for right now, they can begin to enjoy the benefits and the blessings that God has in store for them. They're missing out on so many things when they're not trusting Jesus Christ. And so that was the call, that was the commission for Jonah, to go to preach repentance to Nineveh. But Jonah rebelled. He had other plans. He had other things that he wanted to do. That didn't fit his schedule. That wasn't on his calendar of events, of things to do. Wasn't on his bucket list of things that he wanted to do. As a matter of fact, he didn't want to do that. And a lot of the reason he didn't want to do it was because he knew what God could do and what God would do. So, but he didn't want to go to Nineveh because he didn't want God to forgive the Ninevites. You know, that's a sad commentary, but when we think more closely to home, we need to ask ourselves the question sometimes about who it is that we really don't want to see God save. You know, there are people that have done terrible things, maybe terrible things to us, or they just, you know, they have a reputation in the community or whatever, and we just think they're too evil. And we really want them to get what's coming to them, you know. We don't want them to be forgiven. Don't everybody raise your hand and say, I'm guilty, because most of us can share in that guilt because of things, you know, people, and we just don't think they're worthy of saving. That was kind of where Jonah was. Jonah really didn't want the Ninevites to be saved. He didn't want to go preach the gospel to the Ninevites. Not that he didn't want to go preach. He didn't want the Ninevites to repent. He didn't want them to be spared. He didn't want to be saved. He wanted them to experience what they had coming to them. And so he began to run. He ran, was running from the presence of God. You can't run. You can't hide from God. No matter how far you run, no matter how good you think you've hidden, you cannot escape God's presence. You cannot escape His sight. He knows where you are. He not only knows where you are, He knows what you're doing. He knows the thoughts of your heart. He knows your intentions. So you don't try to run from God, because it won't end well. Jonah tried to run from God, and was willing to pay the price, whatever the price was. The first thing he did was was going to go to Tarshish to get way away from Nineveh, because he didn't want to go to Nineveh. So he goes and pays the fare to get on the boat to go to Tarshish. So there was an expense to start with. That was a very insignificant expense when you look at the total of what it cost him. Because after he got on the boat there and he went to sleep immediately, and then God sent a storm. The sea got rough. And the other guys that were on the boat, they're all calling out their God and trying to get the storm stopped. They're throwing all the goods off the boat trying to lighten the load of the boat, doing everything that they can to try to save being shipwrecked, being sunk, trying to keep the ship afloat. And eventually, they go and wake up Jonah and say, what's going on? Will you call out to your God and see if your God can stop this storm? Jonah admitted to them what the problem was. He knew what the problem was. He knew he was the problem because he was running from God. And so they said, we'll call out to your God and see if he'll stop the storm. And he said, well, just throw me overboard because I'm the problem. Just throw me overboard. Those men, those other sailors, had more feelings for him than he did for all the Ninevites because they didn't want to see him perish. And so they did everything they could to try to spare him. The Bible says they rowed harder and harder. They worked hard to try to get the boat to land so that Jonah could at least get off on land and be spared. But the harder they worked, the worse the storm. There was no calming of the storm. And finally, they realized they had no other option but to do what Jonah had asked them to do. Throw me overboard. And so they threw him overboard. And God had prepared for his first submarine ride. A whale. And so there was the whale. And when they threw Jonah overboard, the whale swallowed him up. You say, well, now wait a minute, that just says a big fish. Yeah, well, over in Matthew it tells us it was a whale. Okay. So the whale swallows Jonah. For 3 days and three nights, he took that submarine ride in the belly of a whale. It was not a real pleasant experience, as you can imagine, being in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. But he was there paying the fare of rebellion, paying for his mistake, his error, his rebellion against God, paying for the fact that he didn't do what God called him to do. You know, all he had to do was go to Nineveh and preach to them and tell them to repent and be saved. But he chose to go the other way. And the other way is never pleasant. Anytime you decide to do it your way instead of God's way, think about Jonah. It's not a pleasant ride. I can tell you, I've never been in the belly of the fish, but I've been in some pretty difficult situations because of my rebellion, because I chose to go my way instead of God's way, because I chose to run from what God had called me to do. And I thought, you know, I'll do it my way. Well, you can, but I can tell you it's not a pleasant ride. It's not going to be a good life. Okay? You will become so miserable that nobody can stand to be around you. As a matter of fact, you'll get so miserable you can't stand to be around yourself. It's a miserable way when you're running from God, when you're rebelling against what God has called you to do. You're not going to enjoy life. It's not going to happen. Oh, you might have some temporary happiness. You know, there may be some things some false happiness. You think you're okay. You think everything's good, but it's going to be temporary and it's not going to be good. And so the best thing is God's way. But Jonah decided to go the other way, but he finally began to wake up. He's in the belly of the fish now and he begins to pray in chapter 2. The first nine verses is Jonah's prayer. Jonah's praying and he's asking the Lord to rescue him, to save him, to spare him. And so as he calls out to him, repenting of his rebellion and asking God for help, and for hope. And so we have always had that option. God's always there. He's waiting on us to call all out to Him. When we're rebelling against Him, He's standing there with arms open wide saying, you know, a lot of times we're struggling because we're trying to do things our way and not letting God help us in the situation. And God's standing there saying, you know, kind of like we are as parents, you know, as earthly parents, you know. You ever have those thoughts when your children are struggling and you want to help them, you know? You tried to give them advice and they've not taken your advice. And you're there and you're saying, if you just let me, I'd like to help you get through this struggle, get through this difficult place. But if you just got to do it on your own, then, you know, it don't make me happy. I don't like to see you struggle. But I'm not going to force myself on you. And God's kind of that way to us. You know, He's there. He's available. He wants to help us through our difficult times. He wants to help us in our stormy times. But He's not going to force Himself on us. We've got to be obedient to Him. We've got to reach out to Him. We've got to call out to Him. We've got to invite Him to help us. And when we invite Him to help us, guess what? He will help us. He will intervene and He'll rescue us, just as He did Jonah. What happened to Jonah? It said in verse 10 of chapter 2, and the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah up on dry land. That fish just did just exactly what God said to do. He just swam right up there to the shore and said, "Bah!" And puked Jonah out on the dry land, out of the sea. Nasty, filthy, yes. But he was spared, and because God had heard his prayer. And so then God calls him again. So I'm going to give you another chance. I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to preach to the Ninevites and ask them to repent, so I can forgive them, because I don't want them to suffer the consequence that they're about to suffer. Jonah remembered what he had just gone through, so he decided it was better to do what God said to do. So he went to Nineveh. He began to preach to the people, calling them to repentance or face the consequence of being overthrown. We need to be preaching, sharing, letting our light shine. The Bible says to let your light so shine before your fellow man that others will see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Not to glorify you because of the good things you do, but let Christ live through you, so they will see you and see your good works, your good deeds, and they will want to experience what you have experienced before them. And so, as we hear God calling us, we need to, wherever we go, whatever the situation, every opportunity, every time God opens that door, we need to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, with someone. It don't matter who it is. Whoever God puts in front of us. I'm glad that somebody shared the gospel with me one day. Aren't you glad that somebody shared the gospel with you? We'd all be in bad shape if nobody had ever shared the gospel to us. If we didn't know how to be saved. I'm glad that there are people that are willing to share the good news with me. And I'm thankful that God spared me and saved me and forgave me. And we need to be willing to go and share the good news. Jonah went after his trip in the whale's belly. He decided it's better to do what God's called you to do. He still wasn't totally sold out on this. He still had some problems, as we see in the latter part of this book here. He really didn't want the Ninevites to be forgiven. And that was a problem. And that is, as I said, that's a problem with a lot of us today. We want to choose the ones that God saves, and that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to plant the seed, to water the seed, to cultivate around that so that seed can grow and come and become a new, mature plant. And that's our responsibility. It's not our responsibility to decide who is forgiven and who is not forgiven, because Jesus didn't just die for our forgiveness. He didn't just die for an elect few. He died for the salvation of mankind. The Bible says it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so it's not our call who's going to be saved. As a matter of fact, it is the individual's choice and his alone whether or not he wants to be saved. Because if whoever calls on the name of the Lord, the Bible says, will be saved. It don't matter what you've done, how evil you've been, or how good you've been, that matters not outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. But no matter how much evil you've committed, if you'll repent of that and ask Jesus to forgive you, come live in your heart and save you, He'll do that. There's none that's too bad. Okay? And so, it's not our choice of who is saved and who's not. Our responsibility is to tell all. And if they will accept, if they will repent, then God will save them. And so, Jonah goes the second time. He goes into Nineveh and he begins to preach the gospel, the good news. So Jonah in verse 3 of chapter 3. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the cities a day's journey. And he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." He began to pray, to preach the gospel, to share with the people of Nineveh. And guess what? Nineveh repented. You know, that's one of the greatest joys that you can ever have. When you have an opportunity to share Jesus Christ with somebody and see them come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. There is not a high. I've never tried any of this dope and all that everybody's using and talking about these highs they get. You know, never tried any of that, but I've tried Jesus, and I guarantee you, you can't get any higher than a high that you get when you have opportunity to share Jesus with somebody and they accept Jesus as their Savior. And there's no hangover. You know, there's no ill effects later on. It's just a great high. So if you want to get high on Jesus Christ. Get high on sharing Christ with others. And here, Jonah shared the gospel. He told the Ninevites they need to repent. And they repented. And God forgave them. When he preached to them, they repented. Verse number 5. Chapter 3 says, "So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, covered him with sackcloth and set in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God, yea, Let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? So Nineveh repented. They called a fast. They began to fast and pray. And God heard them. And God forgave them of their sin. God did not bring judgment down on them that he had intended, that he had planned up to that point. So God will not bring that evil upon you if you will repent. And so God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil and that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. And so the Ninevites were saved. And you think, boy, Jonah's really happy now, right? I mean, he's preached the gospel. And Nineveh, the whole city, and we're talking about a bunch of people. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us how many people, or at least gives us a hint, because there were 120,000 babies that did not know their left hand from their right hand. And if there's 120,000 babies that don't know their left hand from the right hand, then there's a bunch of people there. Okay? When you got 120,000 babies, you're going to have a lot of parents and a lot of other siblings. There's going to be a bunch of people. And so we don't know what the total number was, but we know there were 120,000 babies that were not old enough to know their left hand from their right hand. So there's a lot of people. Jonah had preached to them, and they had all repented, and God had saved them. Boy, would I like to preach to just a small portion of them and see them all saved. I'm thinking about in Acts where 3,000 were saved. I'm thinking, man, I don't know that I'd ever get off that high. You know? What a great time. It's a great joy to see one person saved, or two or three, but 1,000 or 3,000 or hundreds of thousands. And Jonah had experienced that. Why could he not be elated? But he wasn't. Sadly to say, because he was upset. He was upset because God had forgiven them. Now there's something terribly wrong with a man that's upset when God forgives someone. There's some hatred there going on. Not sure exactly what all of it was, but he was upset. And that's the reason he didn't want to go to Nineveh to start with, because he knew that God would forgive them if he went. As a matter of fact, he tells God that in his prayer when he prays there in chapter 4. He said, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry, and he prayed to the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that if thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. I can't understand it. Maybe you can. I cannot understand why Jonah would be upset because God had forgiven all these thousands of people. There was obviously a problem in his relationship, but he had done what God told him as far as preaching the gospel to them. He had called on them. They had repented. And then God gave Jonah a little object lesson. So Jonah's having a pity party. He's upset. You ever seen anybody have a pity party? I know none of you have ever had one, but we've probably witnessed it, right? Seen somebody else having one. You know, go off and have your pity party. Well, Jonah was having a big pity party. So he went off and sat down over there somewhere that was had a little bit of shade, not a lot of shade. And God said, well, he planted a little gourd vine there, grew up, and provided Jonah a good shade. So now he's in the shade. He's feeling good. And God sent a worm to cut the gourd vine. And the next day, the gourd vine wilted down and was no longer providing the shade. And then God sent a really hot east wind to blow, and the sun was bearing down hard. And there Jonah is just burning up out there in that hot sun. And he's upset because the worm killed the gourd vine, killed his shade. And God said, you're real concerned about this vine, this gourd that I planted, that you didn't labor for, you didn't work for it. It just, I planted it, it came up and provided you a shade, You're worried about it, but you're not worried about these thousands of people that I created in my own likeness, in my own image. You're not worried about them, but you're worried about some gourd vine that you didn't have anything to do with. There's something wrong with this picture. So, we sometimes get so concerned about things that mean nothing, really. We're not concerned about the real things. So God said to him there, He said, Thou hast had pity on the gourd for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. Should I not spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 6,000 persons or 120,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? You're worried about things that are insignificant, but you're not worried about the real important things in life. We, a lot of times, are concerned a lot about things that really don't matter, because they're going to perish. We're going to leave them here one day. We're concerned about making our millions, or having the biggest, finest house, or whatever. Nothing wrong with having a nice house, nice car. Nothing wrong with having a bank account, until it gets between you and God. When it gets in the way of doing God's work, then it becomes a problem. But we need to be concerned about the souls of men and women. And that was what God was trying to tell Jonah. Hey, you're concerned about these things that really don't matter. You need to be concerned about the souls of these people, these Ninevites that were doomed for a devil's hell if they didn't repent, just like all of us have been. If we've not repented, we're still that way. I'm thankful for God's forgiveness, thankful that He loves us. He still loves us in spite of us. And we don't know a whole lot more about Jonah than that, but Jonah taught us a good lesson, I hope. I hope we can learn from Jonah's experience that when God calls, we just need to do what He calls us to do. Don't run from it. Don't go your own way. Your way's not going to turn out well. Okay? God's way is the only way. Okay? So let's go His way. Let's go out there and share Jesus Christ with lost people. Love on people. Encourage them. Don't matter how bad we think they are. God loves them. And He'll save them if they'll repent of their sins. And we ought to want everyone to repent. Whether they're Ninevites or whoever they are, we ought to want to see them repent and come to know Christ as their Savior. This week, as you interact with people, think about that. Is that person saved? Is that person worth saving? You know? Do they deserve to be saved? No, none of us deserves to be saved. But because of God's mercy and His love, they can be saved. But they may need you to share Christ with them. The Ninevites needed Jonah to share the gospel with them. When he did that, they repented and were saved. What would happen if you told somebody this week about Jesus Christ? Try it and see. Father, we love You and thank You so much. Thank You for Your love. God, I thank You for Your forgiveness. Because I know, Lord, that I don't deserve it. I didn't deserve any of Your blessings. Still don't deserve any of Your blessings. But I'm thankful for Your mercy. I'm thankful for Your grace. Thankful for Your forgiveness. I'm thankful that You've given me the opportunity to share the gospel with others. Lord, I've missed a lot of opportunities. Lord, there have been some of those times when I decided to go the other way. I'm thankful, Lord, that You didn't give up on me. Lord, I'm thankful for Your forgiveness. Lord, You know every person seated in this building today. You know their relationship with You. If there's one here today who's never trusted You to be Savior, glad You've become Lord of their life, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for that person. Whatever the needs, someone that needs to be to come back, to rededicate their lives to You. They've strayed away. They've allowed Satan to distract them, discourage them. Whatever the situation. Lord, if there's one that You've called to join, to be a part of this fellowship here, whatever the Holy Spirit is leading, I pray that we not quench the Spirit, but that we will be obedient completely to all that You've called us to do. In Jesus' name and for His sake we pray. Stand with me for a moment. Music is playing. If God has spoken to you, if there's something that you need to do, a decision that you need to make, whatever that decision is, God's here. And He's here to meet needs. He's here to forgive. He's here to save. He's here to meet physical needs. Whatever the need, God's here. Not going to force Himself on you. But if you'll ask Him, He'll help you. Anyone. If you got a need, if you'll just slip out and come forward, I'll be glad to pray with you. You don't need to confess anything to me. I'll sure pray with you. Share Scripture with you. I'll try to do everything I can to help you. To lead you in the right direction. Anyone.